So I'm Steph, and I'm the minister here, very, very part-time, even more part-time than ever now, so woohoo! So today I'm going to talk to you about detoxing our thinking. I don't know about you, but I find it quite difficult sometimes to control my thoughts. When I was younger, I had a lot of negative thoughts, mostly about myself. I had really low self-esteem. It was quite crippling. I fell in love, got married, and that was lovely, except I was terrified about getting married because I didn't want people looking at me. Do you know, I couldn't bear to be the focus of attention. I got over it eventually, and we did get married. But really crippling, kind of low self-esteem. But I do recognise that other people have opposite problems. Have you ever seen the trailers? That's all I've ever seen. Trailers for The Apprentice. These people have got massive self-esteem, or they pretend they have. I mean, nobody's that good. They've obviously got distorted thinking. But there's also other ways of distorting our ideas. What about our prejudices? What about our fears? We sang about fears earlier. And sometimes our fears can cripple us, can't they? So I don't know about, is that just me? I used to be frightened of the dark and butterflies. Who knew? So what about you? Do you find it difficult to control your thoughts? Can they be destructive? Can they be unhelpful? You see, I think it's quite important because our thoughts affect everything we do and everything we feel. Our feelings are directed by the way we think. And how we feel about things affects our actions, don't they? If I'm frightened of lightning, like my mum was frightened of lightning and thunderstorms. I remember as children, things like covering the mirrors, hiding the cutlery, and hiding under tables. You know, that's weird behaviour. Now, I've grown out of my fear of thunderstorms, mainly because of an occasion when I was driving along in a thunderstorm, and suddenly, instead of being terrified, not thinking, I've got rubber tyres, I'll be all right, not thinking about that, but I just thought, what a lovely way to go. You know, I just thought, blaze of glory. I've never been frightened of lightning ever since. I just think, fabulous way to go. There you go, bright light, great. So... And now I love thunderstorms and lightning, and I look out for them, and I'll go to the window when they're on. I might even walk outside, might take my jewellery off, you know, take a few precautions. But do you see, our actions are very much affected by our thoughts, and it can affect our faith. The way we think can affect our faith. If you have a faith. Now, you may be here just exploring Christianity, and it's great that you do that. We're really pleased you're here. And I hope that you get something out of this service. Because I'm going to be talking about getting our thinking under control. And I think it's important for all of us. We live in a time when poor mental health is rife. Now, some of the mental health issues that are going around that are really serious are physiological. There's chemical things happening. But some of the stuff that's going on with people is about distorted thinking patterns. We're thinking crazy stuff, some very negative stuff. Many of the talking therapies that are going around look at toxic thinking and looking at how you can replace that toxic thinking. And some of the social problems that surround us are about toxic thinking resulting in toxic actions. Do you agree with that? You know, people are prejudiced. They don't like this. They hate that. And there is a thing. I don't know if you... Some people understand about this. But have you heard of echo chambers? Yeah. Some of you heard of echo chambers. Well, it's a phenomenon that we live in today. Mostly because of the internet, social media, etc. But it's like it's always happened. An echo chamber is where you go to hear what you believe. Okay, you just want to hear what you believe. Your values, your fears, your prejudices, your weird theories about life, the universe and everything. So people go into chat rooms and surround themselves with the same kind of thinking. And actually, a more healthy way to live would be to look at and hear different opinions. But actually, there is this polarisation of people's ideas because of echo chambers. So maybe we all need a bit of a January detox. Thinking can just get out of whack. I don't know about you, but sometimes my thinking is about people I really don't like. I know, I'm not perfect. What a surprise. You know, there are people who get up my nose. And, you know, you rehearse. Sorry. Yeah, it's a very big nose. There's a lot up there. So, just these, you rehearse these resentments and old niggles. And you've got to get your thinking under control. Because thinking affects your actions and your feelings. Now, over 2,000 years ago, the writers in the New Testament talked about the need to and the importance of getting our thinking under control. And so we're going to look at some of these passages. So the first one, I'm going to just take you to a couple of verses, but the first one is in Romans 12. Now, this is a letter that was written by early followers of Jesus, and they wrote it to people in Rome. And it's going to come up on the screen now. And it talks about, do not be conformed, or do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, you know, if we are Christians, we should be a bit different from everybody else around us. Our thinking should be different. Our living should be different. Our attitude should be different. And they should be, that should be translated in the way we live. But if we're honest, most of us look like everybody else. So we need to not conform to the pattern of this world. So things like prejudices, acquisitiveness. But we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So this is definitely about having that mind of God, that mindset of God within us. Because your actions, your thoughts, your actions follow your thoughts just as surely as these ducklings follow their mother. You know, that's the reality. Our actions follow our thoughts just as ducklings follow their mother. Now, in Corinthians, it says, this is another letter written to somewhere else. Now this is written to a church in Corinth. And it talks about demolishing arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So, we have got to demolish arguments that are anti-God. Every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And then it says, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Why is this important? Because our actions follow our thoughts just like ducklings follow their mother. So how do we do this? Now, I'm sorry about this, but I did a little bit of training on this once upon a time, and I found it really, really helpful. So I'm going to teach you your ABC, okay? Are you ready for this? Sitting comfortably, then I'll begin. So the A stands for an activating event. So something happens. Okay, so something happens. So it could be anything. It could be I wake up late. It could be it's raining outside. It could be anything. And things happen all the time, good things, bad things. The important thing, though, is what you believe about what happened, what just happened. So I'll take an example, a very simple example. Wake up in the morning, pouring with rain, okay? So how do we feel about that? What do we believe about pouring with rain? We had a lady here years and years ago, and her house was flooded once. And every time it rained, she was terrified and had to go home because she thought her house was going to flood again. You know, it's what we believe about what happens. Now, I was quite calm. My house hadn't been flooded, so I was quite calm when it rained. It didn't affect me because I didn't believe my house was going to be flooded. So same thing happens and a different effect. Maybe we wake up in the morning, or you're up in the north, it's been flooded, you wake up and it's raining, and you panic because you think, more rain, more rain, more rain. And you believe this is tragic. Maybe if you're in Bracknell, you just think, oh, not again. Do you know, it's just peeving. So it really matters what we believe about what is happening to us. And it could be that you got a job. You apply for a job and you got a job. What do you believe about that? I'm the best. They really needed me. What about if you don't get a job? do you think, oh, that's okay, that's fine? Or do you think, that's tragic, I'm useless, nobody's ever going to employ me? Do you see what I mean? It's what you believe about what just happened to you that is really significant. What about climate crisis? What do we believe about that? What does our belief system tell us? We're doomed, there's nothing that we do. Do we believe there's God's in control? Do we believe that there is hope? What we believe about what happens is more important than the actual event. It can be the difference between climbing up a step and climbing up a cliff. So what we believe about stuff has consequences. So we feel stuff. We might feel anxious, we might feel happy, we might feel hopeful. And what we feel affects our actions and the behaviour that follows. Because, like I told you before, your actions follow your thoughts just as surely as ducklings follow their mother. So let's come on to D. Dispute. This is the critical thing. We all have thoughts in our heads. We all have stuff going on in our heads. It may be about illness. I remember when I was young, I had a bad back. I put my flipped a disc. And I remember lying in bed thinking, I'll never dance again. Do you know, it's like, I loved to dance in those days. Still do, but looks a bit ridiculous now. So, do you know what I mean? So, but actually, I still can, many years later. But we have to dispute these negative thoughts that are going on in our head and replace them. So that's the next thing. We have to take captive every thought, and that is really important. So we have to make our thoughts obedient to Christ and think, what would Jesus say about this situation? What does Jesus think about lightning? Be sensible, probably. Don't walk out in its death. What would Jesus say about this illness that I've got? What would Jesus think about this? So we have to get the mind of Christ in every situation. And we have to apply faith to every situation. We have to challenge our thoughts about ourselves. Maybe they're too low, maybe they're too high. We have to challenge our thoughts about others. We have to challenge our thoughts about situations that are happening around us, in our family, in our workplaces, in the world in general. Various situations. And we have to always add faith to the equation. In the Old Testament, God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And we have to start trying to think God's thoughts, because our actions follow our thoughts just as surely as ducklings follow their mother. So, this January, I want you to think about your thinking. That's quite hard, isn't it? Think about your thinking. But you know, each of us have an internal dialogue. Do you know, I'm a chatterbox inside. I've discovered this when I try to be quiet. Do you know when you try to do a bit of meditation on the Bible or something? And they say, centre on God for 2 minutes. And there's all this stuff going on in your head. Is it just me? I've got too many thoughts running around. And it is difficult to take captive these thoughts. So this January, what thoughts do you keep having that are unhealthy and ungodly that you need to take under control? And what are you going to do about it? What attitudes and actions do you know deep in your heart are wrong? These are not godly. These come from the newspapers. These come from my friends. This is not what God has put into my heart and my mind. What thinking is behind what you are doing and the choices that you make? Is there any thinking going on behind it? I mean, Don gave us a challenge a little while about walking on water. What makes us decide to take up that challenge? Or to stay on the boat? What thinking is behind what you're doing? And how can you exchange your thoughts with God's? What do you need to do? Well, first of all, you need to know what God's thoughts are. And the way you get to know that is to read about them. So you read the Bible. I would start at the New Testament, maybe the Gospels. Don't try to start at the beginning in the Old Testament. You need to come to church, to life groups, to really tussle with what I should be doing, what I should be thinking, what God wants me to be like, especially at the beginning of a year. Let's detox our thinking, our worldly thinking. Take every thought captive. So how can we do this? Maybe you need to get together with a friend, to be accountable, and tell them the struggles that you have with your thought life and your attitudes and maybe even your actions. A trusted friend, a soul friend. And maybe you should just pray more that the Holy Spirit would infuse your thinking, would take hold of your mind and transform it. Imagine what it would look like if we all took our thoughts captive and made them comply to all that Jesus would want of us as individuals and corporately. What difference would that make to the community of this church? And what difference would it make within our workplaces, our homes, our neighbourhoods? Our lives need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Your actions follow your thoughts just as surely a duckling follows their mother. Now, some of this is psychological stuff, and I was talking to Simon about this. And I don't know if you've heard of the thing. I'm going to just wind that back a bit. There's a thing called imprinting. Have you ever heard of imprinting? Some of you will have. If you've been a teacher, they teach you about this stuff. So apparently, if a duckling is born, well, not born, hatch, and the first thing it sees is not their mother, they imprint, they go with that new mother. So if it's a human being, they would follow the human being all around, everywhere they go. And if it's a typewriter, they become obsessed with the typewriter. I mean, seriously. Now, we have all been born into this world. And if you are a Christian, you have been born again. And you're imprinting, maybe, to the world. But Jesus wants you to be imprinted onto him. So you follow him, not the world. You are his child now. And you follow him wherever he leads you.